Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Mo H. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. And today is Monday, February 5th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And we will be reading on page one, Bill's story, the first paragraph, War Fever Ran High, through one paragraph ending with, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol, or returned to alcohol. The comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Robin B., the 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., and the readers of the text are Sherry M. and Becca R. The share ID for Sunday, February 4th, is 21,099 at 21099. And for Monday, February 5th, 7 a.m., Eastern Time meeting, that's this morning's meeting, is 21,100. That's 21100. Our newcomer greeter is Laura W., and our announcements person is Eileen M. OA Preamble, Overeaters Anonymous, is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery to the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater, overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Robin B. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Robin.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for letting me serve. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our life had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me serve, and I pass.
Thank you, Robin B., and I will now ask Rhonda R. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Rhonda.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the chance to do service today.
Thank you, Rhonda R., for reading the traditions for us. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute your phone. And once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are in Bill's Story, Chapter 1, Page 1, begins in the first paragraph, War Fever Ran High, and it ends with, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. And I will now ask Sherry M. to get us started. Good morning, Sherry.
Hey, thanks, Mo. War fever ran high in the New England town to which we knew young officers from Plattsburgh were assigned, and we were flattered when the first citizens took us to their homes, making us feel heroic. Here was love, applause, war, moments sublime, with intervals hilarious. I was part of life at last, and in the midst of the excitement, I discovered liquor. I forgot the strong warnings and the prejudices of my people concerning drink. In time, we sailed for over there. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. Oh, my name's Sherry M., and I am gratefully recovered today in Wyoming. Grateful to be starting on page 1, paragraph 1, chapter 1. Important if you're new. Or if you haven't heard this before, that at the top of my page, I wrote, did I eat like Bill drank? Did I think like Bill thunk? Did I feel like Bill felt? And did I do what Bill did? I have to be able to identify to this story. This is just Bill's story. So what is Sherry's story? You know, when I look at this paragraph, I was told to find the similarities and to see what is Sherry's story as I'm reading this. So for me, I grew up in an alcoholic home, and I do remember, you know, he's talking about when he had his first drink. You know, he discovers it during this wartime with applause and moments sublime. I remember when I found food, and I was 7 years old, and I was visiting my father. My parents had just divorced, and there was some really inappropriate things going on with my dad. And I just remember walking into the cupboard, and I opened it up, and I found a Reese's, and I put it in my mouth, and I discovered food. Right, I discovered food, and I found my solution as to how I was going to be able to survive in this household. and whether or not I was born with this hideous disease, right? This is a deadly, horrific disease of compulsive overeating. It's a disease that tells me I don't have a disease, and it's a disease that just will, I will just eat myself into oblivion and have no life and no death. I mean, no life and only death. But there I was, I found my solution, and food was my solution for a very long time. And then the last thing that I want to share about is the last sentence. So I found that I was part of life at last. I could now survive this life that I was born into. And even though I didn't eat like my friends ate, I was completely different. I was an abnormal eater in every single way. And I lived to eat. I lived to eat. It was my only solace. And so many times during my life was I lonely and again turned to food. So I would have that vicious cycle come up where I felt the loneliness. I felt broken. I felt like I was not a part of this world. And I ate a bite of food. And all of a sudden, I felt connected again. And I was looking for the spiritual connection through food is what I've come to find out. So without food and by working these steps, I have found a higher power, which allows me to feel like I'm at life at last. I'm part of life with God. God directs my entire life. I have a close relationship with this higher power. I am free from this disease with a 24-hour reprieve as long as I continue doing what I'm doing. And I don't feel lonely anymore. Thank you so much, and I pass. Thanks, Mo. Have a great meeting.
Hey, thanks very much, Sherry, for getting us started. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this paragraph, page 1, chapter 1, paragraph 1?
Gloria H.
Bruce E.
Eileen M.
Deanna C.
Deanna C.
Russell S.
Russell S. I have Gloria H, Bruce E, Eileen M, Deanna C, and Russell S. Anyone else want to get in this lineup? Okay.
Deborah G.
Deborah G. Okay, I got you, Deborah.
Thank you.
All right, let's start out with Gloria H. Good morning, Gloria.
Good morning, Gloria H. from Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm so grateful to be on this meeting. I'm a compulsive overeater. And some stories that when I came into the rooms and I was listening to other people and I said, wow, you know, that's not me. Or I couldn't. But this year, you know, when I hear other people share, even before me, I can identify with it as a young person. Some people say they could recognize early that they were a compulsive overeater. That wasn't my story. I didn't recognize it because my parents weren't from this country. And when they separated and when I was 3 years old, you know, they were from Central America, Panama. I was left in the care of a widow. And her son was in the service. And there was always, whenever he came home, you know, there was always drinking, stuff, frivolity or whatever. But with me and her, it was love. You know, she showed her love by making food and sitting at her foot, you know, and just watching her fix these meals and me just, you know, I don't know if it was me showing my appreciation by ingesting it, but whatever. I know that my mother was the same thing. You know, she showed her love by the food, and I was there at her foot also. I was so grateful to partake in it, not knowing that later on, and my father would be the opposite when he, because he was like a womanizer. And so when he was, you know, got his freedom to see other women, because if he was in Panama, he probably would have been doing it, but if he would have been doing it under the banner of marriage. But he was, you know, he was, none of them drank, you know, and my mother, she didn't look like she was an overeater. But, you know, being born in this country and having the advantage of probably time to partake in food and people who were so generous with the food, you know, little did I know that I would someday have my barometer or whatever would find out that I couldn't eat normally, that I had already abused that part and I didn't know when to stop or how much to have. And I consider myself a volume food eater And that's what I was given, a volume of food. And no one ever said stop except my father, who always made it horrible when he met me. He says, how much are you going to eat? And blah, 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 blah. And, you know, he looked at my body because he had women who had these, back in the day, Gina Lola DeBrigida bodies and those kind of people bodies. So he always made me feel so self-conscious. So I ate because I was loved, but then I ate because I was feeling guilty or self-conscious or whatever. My time is about up. But I just want to say that, you know, I was lonely, probably lonely because my mother wasn't there like other mothers. You know, she had to go to work. So being left in another care, it's a kind of, who knows? They always say, name it, trace it, erase it. So that's where I'm at, you know, and I'm so grateful to be here. And I look forward to hearing other people share my past.
Thank you very much, Gloria H. Up next is Bruce E., followed by Eileen M. Good morning, Bruce.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, everybody. Well, war fever was high. Yeah, I'm Bruce. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Fort Myers, Florida. So, Bill's, there's a tremendous high here. War fever ran high. Young officers, they're flattered. People took them into their homes. Love, applause. He's feeling really, really up there. And guess what? Along comes food. Along comes liquid sugar. Along comes alcohol. Along comes liquor. So now he's already using it to treat something. He's using it to treat a high. And then it goes on to say that over there I was very lonely. And again turned to liquor. So now he's using it to treat loneliness. So just like I use food to treat so many things, you know, loneliness. When I was high, I used it to keep me higher. When I was lonely, I used it to try to, you know, drag me up out of that depth of that hole I was in. And, yeah, so I see where Bill is just, you know, using alcohol. And it's working probably at this point. Maybe it did make him so he wasn't so lonely. And it did make him so he stayed a little higher. But then we know that eventually it turns on us and it quits working. You know, what worked at first quits working later on. So as I was on a ship in the Navy and over, and we navigated through all these down Amsterdam and going ashore in a Navy uniform, and you go in a bar and everybody's buying you drinks and because they thought we saved them from the war, World War II or the Germans. And I guess maybe we did. But anyway, people were, you know, it was just like that. You know, people were buying me drinks. And I'd become an alcoholic if I'd stayed there too long because, man, I couldn't buy a drink. Everybody's just, and it was that way, love, applause, you know, all those sort of things going on. And I've been there, you know, on the food, and just I'm feeling great. I'm doing well. I might as well use some alcoholic foods. I might as well use a piece of cake or, you know, three or four or five pieces of cake, and away I go, you know. But then later on, and I'm lonely. Guess what? You know, I just get back into the same thing again. Get back into the sugar, and it'll bring me up out of loneliness. And it worked at first, you know. In the very beginning, and then it came back and bit me and got me all sucked into it, and I got addicted, and I needed to get in this program to get unaddicted. So I'm very grateful today. Thank you for allowing me to share, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. Up next is Eileen M., followed by Deanna C. Good morning, Eileen.
Good morning. Thank you so much. This is Eileen M., very grateful, recovered compulsive eater in New Hampshire. And, I did not even need a reason to compulsively overeat. I could eat over anything. I could eat over being happy. The reason is, you know, because I did not know how to handle my emotions. I had no idea or what to do with them. And the word lonely makes me think of isolation. And, you know, we're told that this is a disease of isolation. And, you know, I ate over isolation, and, you know, because it was painful for me. And the more that I overeat, the more I isolated because of the shame. I had so much shame about it. And, you know, there is a difference between being lonely and being alone. Because if I'm alone, it's like, who am I alone with? You know, it's like, do I like the person that I am? And, you know, today I like the person that I am because of the program. You know, before the program, living life was unbearable. You know, I had no idea, like I said, what to do with emotions. I just didn't learn that growing up. And so I turned to food to just kind of state the pain of any emotions I was feeling. So today I have any circumstances. I don't have to do that anymore. And I'm so grateful for that because I have a different way of living. And, it, you know, now I have a way to handle emotions. And, you know, it doesn't matter what's going on. I can be abstinent, you know, day after day. And it's just been such a gift. And I'm very grateful for this meeting. So thank you. And I pass.
Thank you very much, Arlene M. Up next is Deanna C., followed by Russell S. Good morning, Deanna.
Hi, good morning. This is Deanna C. in California, a grateful compulsive overeater. And I'm shaking a little bit. I woke up at a little before 4 a.m. this morning, and I said, as long as I'm up, I might as well get on the first Vision for You meeting. And I was struck by this line, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. I recently lost my pet of 12 years, and I also lost some very dear relationships with fellows in another fellowship, and I've been feeling very lonely and adrift and unconnected. And then after that line, you know, I said, you know, you have a choice this time. What are you going to choose to do? You're an addict. Do you want to be an addict that turns to food or an addict that turns to recovery? And I saw page 164, you must remember that your real reliance is always upon Him, God. He, God, will show you how to create the fellowship you crave. And I wrote this prayer this morning. Dear God, thank you for waking me up today. Please help me refrain from compulsive behaviors that will harm me. Please show me how to create the fellowship I crave. And when I feel lonely, as I do now, may I turn to you and not food. Please plant me in the same soil as other solidly recovering compulsive overeaters. I do not want to throw away my recovery in the midst of my grief and pain. Remind me that this too shall pass. I am not alone. I have supportive friends and fellows in my life. There are thousands of names that I can call on the Vision for You phone list. Thousands. I can choose to reach out or retreat. And this morning I'm sharing because I'm choosing to reach out. Thank you for being here, and thank you for reminding me that I am not alone. And with that, I pass.
Well, thank you, Deanna C. from California. Russell S. up next, followed by Deborah G. And after Deborah, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Russell.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thank you, everybody who's serving. What I recognize on this is that pretty much all my adult life, if I could, I have been, oh yeah, I'm sorry, I'm from Arizona. Pretty much my entire adult life, I have been avoidant. And most of the time, even when I'm with people, I would be thinking of, oh, when's the next food? What am I gonna eat next? I would just always go to food in my head, because not trying to be in a relationship, not trying to understand people I'm with or loving the people I'm with, but striving to get the food in one way or another, or thinking of it in one way or another. And that's no way to be. I'm very thankful I'm in this program, and I'm struggling with it still with my weight, but I'm working on it. I'm doing the work, and I want to do the work, and I am getting closer to my God, and I guess that's it for now. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Russell S. And before I take Deborah G., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page 1, chapter 1, Bill's story, paragraph 1. War fever ran high. And it ends with, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. After Deborah, I will take another lineup of names. Good morning, Deborah.
Oh, good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service and everyone for your service making this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers. I am so glad that you're here. You don't have to be alone. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater. And what came up for me is I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. I grew up an only child and I felt very lonely. I didn't realize it when I was growing up, but I was lonely and I didn't realize it when I would go to food to seek comfort. Didn't realize that was not something to be doing, but I did it. And you know, today, even today, I can be with others and still feel lonely at times. I don't know what that is. Maybe it's just something, some conditioning from the past of feeling lonely. But today I do know I can do things to help me with not feeling lonely rather than going to food. You know, like was shared. Thank you all for 12-stepping me today and holding hands and doing this together. That feels to get connected with others and not feeling lonely, and feels good to know that, that connectedness with others and, you know, calling other people and reaching out. I think the big thing too is that self, because of being an only child, self, that if I reach out and help somebody, call someone, call a newcomer, call someone that's having a hard time, just call someone, see how their day's going, or just being of service when I go out into the world, you know, wherever I can be used, you know, God, use me, wherever you want me to. And that seems to lift that loneliness. That seems to connect me back with all of us, because I don't want to separate myself. And that was a big thing for me, is separating myself. That creates that loneliness. And thank you all for being here for me this morning. And that's all I have. Love, light, and blessings.
Hey, thank you very much, Deborah G. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share, your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share on this first paragraph in Bill's story?
Nancy C.
Roz G.
Who was before Roz?
Marilee W.
Cindy M.
Joan. Wait a minute. All right, I'll just start with Roz G. And then I heard Marilee. Was it Marilee M?
W.
Okay.
Nancy C.
Nancy, that was it.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. All right, I have Roz G, Marilee W, Nancy N, Joan Marie M. Anybody else? Okay, I'll go with that lineup. Good morning, Roz. You're up first.
Okay. First of all, I'm Roz G. I'm from Palmdale, California. I'm a compulsive overeater, recovered one day at a time. I want to apologize if I stepped on somebody getting in there. And I mean that. I don't like sharing about loneliness because loneliness is probably my middle name. I have felt alone for 6 months almost every day since I turned 60. And it's just been kind of sad. I am getting some outside help for that. But, you know, loneliness is part of self-pity. And, of course, as I've heard in the previous shares, I use food to cover my loneliness. And today I don't use food to seek ease and comfort from loneliness. And so I feel, I'm a big feeler. And so it's so important for me to do 10 steps, to sponsor others, to make outreach calls. Right now I'm doing step 6 and 7. You know, I like to perpetually run through the steps. And so I'm doing step 6 and 7. And self-pity and was a big one for me. It's like a big character defect. It's, you know, and I nurture loneliness and self-pity. And so the opposite of that is gratitude. So I make gratitude lists every day. I make phone calls every day. I attend workshops. I am of service. And I show up for my commitments, whether it be in program or whether it isn't. And yesterday I was working with two-year-olds in the nursery church, and it really got me out of my loneliness. It just, for that time, it did. You know, just being of service. My mother turns 85 today. I've got flowers for her. I have students to take care of today, to teach my dogs. I have so much life. Unfortunately, you know, this loneliness thing and self-pity is a big one. It's one of those character defects that latches. But I'm aware of it, and I take action on it. And so I consider myself to be a person in recovery that's working. And I'm grateful that I am aware of my feelings, especially in February around Valentine's Day. It's really hard. So that's my share. Thank you. I pass.
And thank you, Roz G. Up next is Marilee W., followed by Nancy N. Good morning, Marilee.
Good morning. Thank you, Mo. Yeah, I am also, the loneliness piece stood out because I know that place, I think, as so many do so well. And the reality is that feeling that feeling, which I just remember and, you know, calling my sponsor so many times and saying, like, in tears, I'm lonely. I'm lonely, but I would say I'm all alone. And even in this world, when I'm not all alone, when that feeling comes up, because I want certain people to feel that, and when they can't or don't, or it's just not the plan, or it's not the kind of attention or validation or approval that I want, you know, it's that loneliness as few know. And in that place, it's so heartbreaking in the moment for me. It is so strong in my head. It's very much similar to the obsession for food in the fact that it's just like in my head so strong. And in that place, when I get shut down and I'm believing that lie, because it is a lie, I'm actually not alone, but believing the lie that what can happen and will happen in many cases is that thought for food will be next. Like, I know how to fix this. I'll control and enjoy the food this time somehow, some way. I'll just have a little bit. It won't be out of control. This really wasn't an alcoholic food. And so, you know, to just reiterate what, you know, the 10th step is amazing, but also what I've been seeing lately out of that 10th step, I mean, I had a long discussion with somebody about this yesterday, was I have a lot of protective factors in the fact that I think I'm protecting myself or this is what I need to do in this situation. And so, you know, self-honesty is very important. There's a huge time and place where I can have a voice and it's okay to have a voice and I'm worth having a voice. And there's also a time and place for not. So that really leaning on spirit, on higher power, on the divine to, you know, is this the right time through the action of our steps, 10, 11, 12, all the steps before that. And also seeing, am I trying to understand instead of grabbing for understanding is one of the ways that I separate myself is for me that I need to be understood. And, you know, asking for the strength and willingness to help me understand this person and not make it all about my feelings. I can honor my feelings, but still they're not always fact. And I don't have to over explain myself. It doesn't mean I need to stay in a situation, but right. Am I trying to understand? That's what I have. Thank you.
And thank you, Marilee W. Up next is Nancy N., followed by Joan Marie M. Please let us know what state you're calling from, too.
Good morning. This is Nancy C. from Washington State.
Oh, sorry.
That's okay. I am relating to the part in this paragraph that here was love, applause, war, moments sublime with intervals hilarious, and discovering the food in that excitement. I've been abstinent for a little over a year now. I've been coming to Vision for a year. I haven't shared yet until today. And my sponsor told me I need to start doing that. So one of my initial, what I felt like was my barrier to getting into the program was that I have part of my love and applause comes from my husband and my marriage. And we've been married for 35 years, and both of us worked full-time for years, and now we're both retired, but we have kind of independent lives. And the place where we come together is around food, and he's a really good cook. And so mealtime, that's when we're together. He loves cooking for me. That's his way of showing love and applause and encouragement. He's my biggest cheerleader. So when it came time to become, to change my to recognize my addiction and to need to like take care of that through this program, that was really a big, huge change. And I just felt like I'm going to lose that, you know, my antidote to loneliness. But, you know, I found love and applause here in the program and with my higher power over this past year, moments sublime. And it's, you know, it's been a higher power. And, you know, over time, my husband has, you know, I've just had to stick with, you know, I have to take care of my addiction. I have to take care of this. This is a deadly situation, and for my spirit as well. And he's kind of come around, and now we're coming together around my food plan. So it's awesome. And you know, it's all thanks to this program, and I appreciate being able to share. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And before I take Joan Marie, let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on, in Chapter 1, Bill's story, page 1, and paragraph 1, War Fever Ran High. And it ends with, I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. After Joan Marie, I'll be able to take maybe 3 or 4 more names. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. I have to say, this morning I was supposed to be a reader of some kind, so I didn't check in till like a couple minutes. So with that, I apologize. I just couldn't get through. And so my thought would be, well, I won't try again, and that's a lie I tell myself because that's not true. The part that stood out is I was part of life at last. And in the midst of the excitement, I never felt a part of anything, let alone life. I just never did and never felt like I belonged. And then I learned in another program about being addictive to excitement. If there wasn't something going on, I'd have to create it some way or another. And I was always attracted to the opposite sex that was exciting in my eyes, which meant they were very unhealthy. And so, and then the part about, you know, loneliness. When I feel that feeling, I ask God right then and there, fill that empty spot. And he does, one way or another. And so that's my answer to loneliness. And someone shared about self-honesty is very important, and it really is. And yesterday was an off day. That's the only way I can say. It's been raining, and it's raining right now a lot in Nevada. And I'm not I'm not very keen about rainy days. So I had to put that out there. And I really felt isolated because I didn't go to church or reach it, didn't do any outreach calls yet. So I called my sponsor. I put it out there. And I don't know why it works or how it works. Well, I do know how it works by putting it out there, but it does work. And then she suggested to listen to Special Edition, and I did, and it was exactly what I needed to hear about a situation I was dealing with that had nothing to do with the weather, but it was something that I needed to hear, and it was about communication and being strong about your communication and clear about it. So I was able to do that. And those are the things that I would eat over because I wouldn't know how to handle a certain situation. And I would turn to food, which would numb me out, and then I couldn't stop. So today I have solutions. I have a program that works if I work it. I love this program. It is saving my life. And
hi.
Thank you, and I will continue. With that, I say God bless everyone, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie M. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, then you can share 3 days, meaning Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you could share today. Who would like to share on this paragraph?
Donna B.
Donna B.
Yvonne V.
Yvonne B. I could probably take one or two more. Anyone else? If not, we'll go with those two.
Barbara A., oh. California.
Barbara A., okay, got you, Barbara. All right, let's go with those. Donna B.
Jennifer
B.
L.
Jennifer L., all right, that's it, because I don't know if I'll get you in, Jennifer, but we'll try. Okay, Donna B., you're up first, followed by Yvonne B. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, binge purge bulimic, and exercise bulimic. And what strikes me about this paragraph is that in one paragraph alone, we see that excitement creates an interest in drinking and loneliness creates an interest in drinking. And that's my experience with food, that I think that when I was in the food, I could rationalize that the reason why I ate was because this thing happened that evoked this feeling. But when I look at the way that I ate globally, when I took a step back and took a sort of bird's view of my pattern of eating, I could see that no matter how I rationalized why I ate, or what feeling it evoked, it always ended up in the food. So it wasn't loneliness, it wasn't excitement, it wasn't sadness, it wasn't loss, it wasn't accomplishment, it wasn't failure. I ate because I was a compulsive overeater. And I like to share with my sponsees the idea that we hear so often in the rooms, that the food was my solution. That my problem was in my feelings of being restless, irritable, discontent, and that I was chasing this elusive feeling that I thought food could give me, did. And so it's, for me, it's helpful to look at the arc of Bill's story, which we'll do over the next couple of weeks, is that by the time he hits his bottom, he too can see that it wasn't the excitement or the loneliness or the accomplishments at work or the failures at work or his relationship with his wife or any of the things. It was that he's an addict. And the only solution we can suggest, which we learned in the doctor's opinion, is entire abstinence. And I'm grateful to know what my problem is, and I'm grateful to know what the solution is, and for all of the support that I have in choosing the solution one day at a time. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna B. Up next is Yvonne B., followed by Barbara A. Good morning, Yvonne.
Good morning. I'm Yvonne V., a compulsive overeater from Maryland. The sentence that stuck out with me was, I forgot the prejudices of my people. I started going to OA about 6 months ago, met up with a group, a really small group, just kind of having listened to their experiences. And I shared this with my partner, sharing that I was starting to go to OA. And the prejudice, I was very shocked and disheartened when he said, nobody takes that seriously. And my attendance at OA meetings started becoming very sparse. I started looking at my own friends who were struggling with the overeating. And now I'm realizing that I have prejudices in my home, in my own head. I quit going to OA for about 6 months. And I started coming back last week because everything hurts. I mean, my hip hurts, my ankles hurts, my knees hurt, and I'm back to, I have got to do something. But I'm finding it going to the website and finding that every half hour of the day, 24 hours a day, I can go to a meeting in my own language. And to me, that spoke to me because it's just because one person does not take that seriously, there are millions and millions of others who do take that seriously. And I'm able to work through my own self-prejudices about my food. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Yvonne B. And Barbara A., I can give you about a minute and a half, and Jennifer, I won't be able to get to you today. Barbara A., good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Barbara A., California, gratefully covered today by the grace of God. I read that last sentence. I was very lonely and again turned to alcohol. And the word lonely evokes so many things because I was very selfish. I was very self-centered. I was very disgruntled, full of resentment. That's when I returned to the food. And lonely came with all of that, with that resentment and that anger and that feeling different. And if I've repeated something someone said, I'm grateful. I hope that I can hear it again and again, that I was self-serving. I was selfish. I was dishonest. And that's what made me turn to the food. Thank you for the opportunity to share. And I pass.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much, Barbara A. Thank you all for your shares today. And if you didn't get time to share, come back tomorrow, please. Well, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will now ask, I think it's Becca R., to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning. Are you there, Becca?
I am.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry. I'm Becca R. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. I'm calling in from Kentucky. And I was a little off. I thought someone had to sign in, so Okay, our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.